Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are we doing this beautiful, beautiful day? Tad bit chilly here at the studios of Jim Hinckley's America, just in spitting distance of Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona. A brisk 29 degrees this morning, my friends. Roads are going to be a bit slick, especially east of here up towards Seligman, Ash Fork. Flagstaff, Williams. So drive careful if you're in that neck of the woods. It's going to be a tad bit cold and icy. Good morning, Brady. Got a few things going on this morning. Let's see if we can get a hold of Ned Luchner. He's supposed to be with us this morning. And see if we can get him going. Ned is the owner of Cool Springs. On the west slope, the east slope of St. Greaves Pass, probably one of the most beautiful sections of Route 66 there is. I'll tell you, Stevie Wonder would have trouble taking a bad photograph out there, and most Route 66 enthusiasts are quite familiar with Cool Springs and the St. Greaves Pass area. They call it Sidewinder now. Lots of curves, more curves, and as far as I know, sharpest curves and steepest grades anywhere on Route 66. But it's got quite a history. That whole area has got quite a history. As soon as we catch up with Ned this morning, we'll talk about that. Until then, I'll share you a few little updates. Working on a couple new episodes of In Search of Lost Highways videos series for our YouTube channel. Give you an update on some programs coming down the pike. Next week, we're going to be talking to Professor Nick Gerlich. And he has, he's quite a Route 66 enthusiast, but he's also traveled all over the United States and Canada documenting historic signage. That should be a lot of fun. And then we're going to talk to Mr. Roy Pickrell of the Pink Elephant Antique Mall in Livingston, Illinois. That'll be on the 25th of February. It's hard pressed to describe what the Pink Elephant is in Livingston. Pretty amazing. March 3rd, we have Ron Romero, the new Route 66 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Joliet, Illinois. Then on the 10th of March, we have Scott Piotrowski, the president of the California Route 66 Association. And then, on the 17th of March, we have the folks from the Texas Route 66 Visitor Center in Amarillo, Texas. And then on March 24th, it looks like we have mural artist Ray Harvey. And speaking of Ray Harvey, Ray is an acclaimed mural artist, especially in his, his neck of the woods, Missouri. He did a whole series of Mark Twain and Mississippi River-themed murals for the city of Hannibal, Missouri. He's done murals for the state capitol. And now, he's coming out to Kingman, Arizona. Tim and Lenore Webb have commissioned him to create some Kingman murals. And Tim and Lenore are the dynamic duo right here in Kingman. I'll tell you, they're taking a whole block of Route 66 between 2nd and 3rd Street. And And they're creating quite a deal down there. They've taken a 1940s service station and converted it, put up the new Pegasus, and gosh, you know, just really, really wonderful. They've taken a 1930s diner on Route 66, beautiful little stone building, been closed for decades, and converted that to a wonderful ice cream parlor. They put it in a patio. And in between, they're putting vintage Airstream trailers as an Airbnb. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then right next to that's the old Denny Moore's bar. It was a roadhouse. That's going to be Mud on 66, a gourmet coffee shop. And gosh, those are all exciting developments. Now we're going to have the Ray R. Harvey mural added to that. And Ned's having some issues. So, well, let's see if we can try this. And I'm not sure how this will go, but let's give it a try. Hey, Mr. Ned.
Hey, Jim. Can you hear me?
A little. Just 1 second. 1 second here. Okay. Let's try that and see if that works.
All right. Good morning.
Can everyone hear Ned okay? We're having to do this on the phone, and I know it's not quite ideal, but I bet you it's going to work. Hey, you're back in Chicago, up in that direction, aren't you, this time of year?
Yeah, I'm actually in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
It's all right. We got beautiful views over Lake Michigan here.
Well, 29 degrees out here, so that's kind of like, well, springtime in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Well, it's actually, you know, it's actually in the 30s and low 40s this past week. So we've had nicer weather than you guys have had out there, Kate.
Well, you know, I'm sorry we couldn't get you a little more direct link. I don't know what the problem is, but, well, we try to bluff the best we can here.
I've tried every which way to Sunday for the last half an hour to try to link on. It hasn't been working.
That link will work only when the program's live. But I digress. Hey, Cool Springs. You know, most anybody who's familiar with Route 66 is familiar with Cool Springs. It's probably one of the most scenic locations on Route 66. I don't think Stevie Wonder can take a bad photograph out there. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, the entire history of Route 66, its entire evolution, is encapsulated in that place.
I know it's a hotbed for history out there, and I was captivated by the area because it's so beautiful, and I started learning about the Beale Trail out there, which then, I guess, Route 66, you know, connected and layered on some of the Beale Trail for the military road from the 1850s, and being a fan of U.S. history, I started studying about that. And from the back of Cool Springs, if you look down into the valley, you can see some of the remains of the original Beale Trail back there.
It's an incredible area. You know, when I used to work for, when I was a kid, of course, I was too young to really appreciate what I had. But I worked for Ed Edgerton up at Ed's camp, and he was talking about finding relics and different things from all the way back to when Father Garces camped there in 1776 at Little Meadows.
That goes way back.
Yeah. So what possessed you to buy what was essentially a burned out ruin that had been used as a landfill?
Well, I ventured out to the Kingman area. Originally was going to buy some vacant land out there as an investment. And I was just kind of captivated and fascinated with the area. So we cruised out old Route 66 out towards Oatman and then came back. And the ruins of Cool Springs at that time, it was just a couple of pillars and some fragments of the foundation. And it would look like a dump site. And had been a dump site for maybe 30 or 40 years. And there was debris strewn all over the place. And standing on the site and you look around, you can see between 50 and 100 miles almost in every direction. And I thought, what happened here? And I was really curious because I could tell it was the remains of an old gas station, but I was just fascinated. I wanted to find out what had happened there. And when I was a little kid, we used to go on road trips, and I loved stopping at the old gas stations. We used to go vacationing to the Wisconsin Dells, and we'd stop at little towns along the way. And my favorite was the Sinclair station with the dinosaur logo and the dinosaur. And so that's what started it. I was just intrigued at what had happened there. And there was a man I was working with in Kingman. His name was Ben Gangloff. And I asked Ben, I said, Ben, find out who the owner of this site is and what happened here. And he found this elderly lady down at Lake Havasu whose family had owned it since the 1930s. And her name was Nancy Shaner Waverka. And I said, Ben, give Nancy a call and ask her if she's interested in possibly selling the site, and maybe I'll rebuild what was here. And so Ben called Nancy down at Lake Havasu, and he said, Nancy, there's a man from Chicago. He's interested in buying the old remains of what was Cool Springs. And she said, well, you tell Ned we're not interested. And then hung up the phone. And I said, wow, okay. So that was my first reaction to it, Jim. But it started with a fascination of what was there originally.
Well, unfortunately, I have to confess, we contributed to that dump atmosphere. When I was a kid, we moved out there in the 60s. For everybody who lived along Oatman Road, that was the, it was the local landfill. Everybody, all us kids, we'd load up the pickup truck, we'd drive up there to the old grease pits and shovel everything out of the back of the pickup. That was the local landfill. I'm sorry to say, you know, but at the time, you know, in the 60s, Route 66, there was little interest except by crazy people like me and other dry roasted nuts that drove out there on purpose. But that old place, that, you know, that site goes back, actually predates Route 66, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it was, if you go way back, I learned some lore from elderly Native Americans from the area, and they told me it originally was a life-saving watering hole. There's around the bend on the south side of the street is the Cool Spring, and that's where they would water the horses. And it was an important stop off for travel between going across the mountains. And I was told by Roy Dutton, who's uncle owned the gas station in Gold Road, that they used to sell water. That was a very important commodity out there. So they had gasoline and water. And he told me they made their money from selling the water for $1 a gallon. The gas was only 20 cents a gallon or 18 cents a gallon, something like that.
That water source, is that where the King's Dairy was at across the road?
No, that was a little further down. The actual spring is around the bend of the, there's a mesa on the south side of the street. And if you go along the base of the mesa all the way back, there's a crevice, where the original spring is.
Okay.
And, the old owners, they had tapped into that and got piping, and they made piping and ran it all the way over to where the Cool Spring Station site is. And it ran underneath the road, and then that fed water to the site. And there was a couple of different families that opened that up back in the 1920s. And the family that I got it from had owned it since, I think, 1932.
N.R. Dutton, Roy Dutton's uncle, boy, he was visionary, really. You know, get the garage in Gold Road, offering the towing service over the pass, Cool Springs. And, of course, that takes us to Mr. D's Route 66 Diner. The Dutton family has that connection as well.
Correct, yes. That family's still around. So I had quite a few conversations with some of the family members, in particular Roy. And he told me when he was in high school, he used to work out at for his uncle out in Gold Road back in the 1930s. And so there's still, there's a few people left alive from back in that era, but not too many, because one of the family members that lived at Cool Springs and owned the gas station was the Walker family. And one of their sons, Chuck Walker, I think he's 93 now. He's still a sound mind. So he can recall taking the school bus from Cool Springs over the St. Grease Pass through Gold Road and went to the Oatman Grammar School. So I still have some folks I'm in touch with that can recall that way back in those days. But there's not very many folks living that can remember back in that time.
No, they're fading out. In fact, you know, you got to be almost an old fart like me to even remember Route 66 when it was the highway and the only highway out here. You got to be at least 65 or older before you can get back into that. So to remember the old times, you know, World War II, in those years, God, you're pushing 100 now.
Definitely. And one of the things that I really appreciate about the Route 66 in Arizona, I like Route 66 throughout from Chicago out to L.A., but that stretch that's east of Kingman and the stretch going from Kingman all the way over to Topok, you can really capture the essence of the old highway. It still has, it hasn't really dramatically changed much. I mean, things have, you know, developed in Kingman, but when you get out into the outskirts of town and beyond, you can really capture the essence of the old road. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so popular out there for tourists.
Well, it's such a scenic drive as well. I mean, God bless, you know, I joke a lot about it, but there's a lot of beauty spots on Route 66. You know, you get into the Devil's Elbow in Missouri and some parts of New Mexico, but I'll tell you, that stretch, that pre-52 alignment up through the Black Mountains, boy, I tell you, that's just absolutely breathtaking out through there.
It sure is. And I've taken different family and friends out there, and it's breathtaking when you take some of those hairpin curves going up the eastern slope towards the St. Grease Pass. You know, you can, I remember when I first took that trek out there in the mid-90s, and you could stop and look down, and you could see piles of cars at the bottoms of the hills. And it made you appreciate, you know, how people had to navigate that road with those old automobiles.
You know, what's astounding to me is most of the wrecks you find along there, they post-date when that was Route 66. I cannot find any records so far, newspaper articles or anything, of fatal accidents when that was the highway. People went off the road, but, you know, possibly because the cars were traveling so slow. One of the things I did find that I found just was really astounded by was 1939, the Arizona Highway Department clocked 1 million vehicles for the first time in an annual period on Route 66 in western Arizona. And you think a million vehicles, even if it was only 750,000 in a year going over that road, that's probably why there were so few accidents and fatalities, because you must have been just traveling at 5 miles an hour.
Probably, but I'm sure people, you know, you can white knuckle it, grabbing the steering wheel, going through some of those curves, and especially at nighttime, it's not an easy road to navigate at nighttime.
No, and those old cars with brakes. Hey, Nolan Stoltz has a question for you. Why was the owner against selling the property?
Well, they had sentimental reasons. They were approached by Bob Waldmeyer in the 1980s. He was interested in buying Cool Springs before he got Hackberry. And you know, they weren't in the mood to sell it at that time. It was family reasons, and she had a grandson that she was hoping would kind of come up, and she was willing to give it to him if he wanted to redo it, but he was in her grandson was in different parts of the country, and he wasn't in a position to take on redoing the project, but after a few years of reaching out to her to request to sell Cool Springs or buy Cool Springs, she called me It was Labor Day weekend, the year 2000. And I had just started a project out here in Illinois. I purchased my great-grandparents' old house. And a couple days later, on Monday, Labor Day, Nancy called and said, "We're ready to sell you Cool Springs." And I thought, wow, every cent that I had to my name is put into this other project out here. I held the receiver on the phone and I said, "Okay, I'll buy it." So I worked out a deal with her and she bought it. But she told me that she felt like I was going to be the right one that was going to be able to restore it back to close to what it used to be when they had it. And so I felt like I was, an honor was given to me to restore the building and the structure. And so that was almost 25 years ago.
Now, that was built, the original setup there was about, 1925?
Yeah, I think the oldest picture that I have is from 1924.
Okay.
And there was, the original wooden station was there. It hadn't been built out of stone yet. It was just a wooden station, and then there was a couple of white cabins. That's the oldest picture that I have. So it was the mid-20s.
So that would be, that would be the, of course, the National Old Trails Road era.
Right. And I think there was, at that time, I believe there was a few thousand people living in Gold Road and about 5,000 people living in Open. So there was a pretty decent amount of traffic on that road at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed from Ed's Camp, Ed Edgerton, he came out from Michigan sometime after the World War One, around 1920, and as I recall, he started setting up Ed's Camp about that same period, 24, somewhere in there.
Sure. Yeah, I had the lady that I bought Cool Springs from. She was of a contemporary of Ed, and she was friends with him, and so it was nice to hear firsthand from her about her interactions with Ed. I don't know when he passed, but it was before my time out there.
Not by much. He passed away in the late 70s, about 77, I think, 77, 78. Yeah, he was the quintessential, he was kind of a bad influence on me, even though I was too young to appreciate all he was trying to teach me and show me and tell me. But he was the quintessential desert rat. He just was a incredible guy. He just real knowledgeable and fascinating. And he wore long johns most all year. And they probably were white at one time. But that's
okay. Well, there was, it was pretty remote out there back in the day, even recently for anyone living out in that mountain. So you had to be quite an individualist, and a unique. You had unique characteristics to live out in those areas.
Great little story about Cool Springs. Ed Edgerton, Ed's Camp. Would take go up there to Cool Springs. He talked about buying a lot of. He was wanting to set up a campground. He was wanting to get that King's Dairy. And I don't know how that whole thing unraveled. But Roy Dutton was telling me that in the early 60s, Edgerton came into the dealership, Dutton Motors downtown, wanted to buy a new Chevy pickup. And they worked out a price on it. And he had brought in a bag. He was famous. Ed was famous for his melons and tomatoes, things of that nature. And he just he brought in a bag of tomatoes for Roy. And he just tore off a piece of the bag and wrote on there, "Pay to Dutton Motors such and such number of dollars," and he signed it and handed it. And Roy said, "Well, what am I supposed to do with this?" And Ed said, "You take it to the bank and cash it." And Roy called the bank and he says, "Yeah, we're used to it. Just bring it in and we'll cash it." Times were different.
Oh, definitely.
I know Universal Soldier was filmed there, but were there any other movies that you know of associated with Cool Springs?
Not that I know of. I know they ran Easy Rider was a lot of that was filmed on Route 66, but they didn't come up to that stretch of where Cool Springs is. They came along where the water plant is, just south of Kingman.
Right.
So it's scenes from that movie out there. Another thing of interest about Cool Springs, Jim, that I learned from the owner, Nancy Waverka Shaner, is the old previous owners, when they established Cool Springs in the 1920s, they put it up there and didn't own the property. They just built a structure on there. It was the old school district section. And it wasn't until 1962, Nancy and her husband, Joel, they went into Kingman, and Mojave County determined that that section was not going to be used as a school district. And so that's when they purchased the actual land in 1962. And prior to that, whoever built the structure on Cool Springs did not own the land.
You know, that's really interesting, because that seems to be a predominant thing out there. The people who established King's Dairy apparently did that. They established a dairy and then bought the property, and Ed did that. Ed squatted on that property, and he built things and had a bus station and for 5, 6, 7 years. And then the business was booming, and he started getting nervous, and he decided, you know, I probably should own this property instead of just pretend that I do.
And, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing that they were able to get away with that for that many years.
Well, that just goes to show you, you know, they determined that. But there's not a lot of, when you get out in where Cool Springs is and you go across the mountain range, there's not a lot of privately owned parcels available. It's very scarce. Majority of it is all surrounded by wilderness land. And all surrounding Cool Springs is all wilderness land. And we had, it took 3 years to get the approval to bring the power poles across. That was, we had many incredible journeys to get Cool Springs rebuilt, but getting the power poles set up was quite a challenge, and took a few years and was quite expensive. Prior to 2004, all the work we did out there had to be done by generator.
Well, you know, I know you've been patient and tenacious about putting this place back together, and it's been an uphill battle. It's been like pushing a wheelbarrow full of rocks up a hill with a flat tire.
Exactly.
I'm
preparing myself for another phase of. I had wanted to build mimic the building that was just to the west of the station where they had the cabins. And I poured the foundation and got ready for that. And I think I'm going to begin that project again and try to coincide with the 100th anniversary of Route 66 as to the extension building that I had planned back in 2006. And then I want to do a lookout deck along the back of the station. So that's going to be a couple year project, and I'm having the plans drawn up now. One of the things I've been fortunate with the rebuild out there, Jim, is I've had people of whatever different high level skills that have wanted to participate. And I have a man who was one of the architects for the extension wing for United Airlines at O'Hare Airport. He's going to come through there in March, and he's going to do some sketches for me to get prepared for this next phase of construction that I want to do on the building.
No, very good. You know, rental cabins out there and campsites, I know a lot of people would really enjoy staying out there. It's so beautiful at night.
Well, we've been discussing doing something like that for the last few years, and that's certainly going to be on the topic of conversation to put some cabins out there, because I do get a lot of requests that people want to stay out there.
Yeah.
And after the Route 66 fun run, there's a teardrop camper group that likes to stay out there overnight the weekend of the fun run. So the desire to stay out there and experience that is quite high.
Yeah, you know, it's like, say, Ned, you've done such an incredible job bringing this thing back to life. And that's why I say, really, this Cool Springs, it is a manifestation of the entire evolution of Route 66 history, from National Old Trails Road, the transition, the lean years before the Renaissance, What year did Cool Springs burn? That was like 66?
That burned to the ground in 66. And yeah, I heard those stories from the people that I bought the site from. And they had moved down to Lake Havasu, and Nancy Averka worked at the Ford Proving Grounds. And they kind of let it go after that. So it sat as ruins for all those years, and then all there was remaining was just fragments of the foundation I had mentioned and the two pillars. And in the late 80s, I think it was 1989, Roland Emmerich was a producer for Universal Soldier. He reached out to Nancy Averka, and they asked if they could use the site for scenes for the movie. And she said, yes, yeah, she agreed. And so they built a makeshift wooden station on the site and then blew that to smithereens. Mm-hmm. And Nancy told me they gave her $3,000 for the courtesy to be able to do that on the site. And then I got it about 10 years after that. And boy, it took 6 months to get the whole site excavated and cleaned up before we figured out what we were going to do for the rebuild, Jim.
I can only imagine how many tons of crap you had to haul out of there. And like I said, I have to admit, we contributed to that because.
Well, what I saw when I first went there was a beautiful, majestic site on a perch. Yeah. You could see down into the valley. You could see across to the Hualapai Mountains. And I thought, why is this beautiful site why is all this debris and trash on this beautiful site? So my first inspiration was to get it completely cleaned up. Every can, every piece of garbage, rubble, whatever we could do, we cleaned up as much as we could. And then from there, we began the design plans for rebuilding it.
Well, you did a fantastic job on that. And for people who aren't familiar with Cool Springs, or if you are, of course, I'll do a blog post on the Jim Hinckley's America website about what we're discussing today. And I'll include old photos and new photos of Cool Springs to give you an idea of just what we're talking about. But, you know, the site is really phenomenal. I don't know if you've heard this one yet. And if anybody from the IRS is listening, well, Ned, you don't have to tell us if you found the money, but some folks held up the canteen out at the Kingman Army Airfield during World War II. The amounts vary, but basically they made off with mostly change, quarters, nickels, dimes, silver dollars, whatever, anywhere from $100 to $500. And they caught the folks in... on Route 66, headed up towards Oatman. And at that time, they did not have the money with them. They'd stashed it somewhere along the way.
Okay. Be nice to find that canteen full of silver coins.
Yeah, they robbed the canteen out there at the Army Airfield and took off with a bag full of money. And it was supposed to be a canvas sack full of money. They did not have it when they stopped it. Originally, I had been told they dumped it near the White Rock Court in Kingman. But I've dug a little deeper into that. And apparently, the sheriff picked them up, up near Snell's Summit Station at the top of Sitgreaves Pass. And at that time, they did not have the money with them. So...
So maybe it's somewhere between Cool Springs and Sitgreaves Pass.
Well, so if you happen to find it, you know, that'll kind of put the money towards the renovations out there.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Hey, you know, one of the things a lot of people miss and overlook is that beautiful trail going up to the Mesa, up to the top, right across the road, the south side of the highway. You've got that beautiful trail that goes up to the top of the Mesa. And boy, what a view from up there.
That's quite special. And Dennis DeShen was the general contractor for the rebuild of Cool Springs. And he specifically asked me, he said, can we, you know, let's do a hiking trail from Cool Springs and across the street on the south there all the way around. And it is quite a nice trail. We had Roger Naylor is professor at Northern Arizona University, and he said he thought that was the second nicest trail in all of Arizona. So it's quite an honor. And I was good friends with Bob Waldmeier, and he used to love going out there and hiking with me on that trail, going to the top of the Mesa. So I've got some good memories, and I can share with you some of the pictures of hiking up there with Bob.
You know, the one thing I do want to put out, if you hike that trail in the summer, do it early when it's a little cooler, and do watch for snakes, because that's kind of thick out there. You know, one of my last visits with Bob Waldmeier, was during the Fun Run weekend. We sat out there at Cool Springs and shared a watermelon. That's going back a few years.
He was quite an interesting character and quite knowledgeable about desert fauna and knowledge of the desert.
Nolan has a question about the movie. Was the makeshift station for the movie part of the original building? Because he had read that they had blown up the original building, but like you said, the original building had burned in 1966. So did they kind of build on the site of the original building?
They built on the site. It was a frame station. They just built it around the ruins that were there. And in one of the scenes in the movie, they blew that to smithereens. So there was absolutely nothing really left except for the old pillars in front and a couple of fragments of the foundation.
Well, when you visit Cool Springs or look at pictures, you can see what was left, because they're kind of bleached, the columns and the east side of the building. The stone walls are kind of bleached and a little bit different coloration. Yeah, I'm just really always amazed what you've accomplished out there, Ned. I just really am amazed by what you've been able to do with this place.
Thank you, Jim. It felt like it was an honor bestowed upon me, and it hasn't been easy to keep it afloat all these years. But we opened the gift shop in 2004, and I'm proud to say that we've been able to keep that gift shop open for the last 20 years. And as you probably know, it's not easy to keep a business alive on Route 66, but since the popularity has grown so much in the last, let's say, 10 years, and the traffic has increased out there greatly, so it's been a little bit easier.
Well, I think as we get close to the centennial and moving beyond the centennial, I have to be honest, for me, Route 66 was a road. You know, I grew up out there. I learned to ride a bicycle on that road out there by Cool Springs, riding up to Ed's camp. I learned to drive truck out there. And I've always liked the old roads. I just was, you know, my mom said I was born 90 and I never seemed to get any older. And, but it was a road. Even in the 90s, when the Renaissance was starting to take off, you know, I didn't understand. I thought it was a fad that would, I thought it would wane. I thought it'd be, a flash in the pan. And I have to admit, and I'm glad to admit, that I was wrong. The popularity of Route 66 is increasing exponentially. And I think the old road today is probably more popular than any time in its history.
I have to agree with you there. I know when I got involved it was mostly people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of World War II veterans, and we're talking about 25 years ago, and there was a revival of them visiting because they remembered the Kingman Airfield, and there was a lot of traffic back and forth right after World War II on Route 66, and as those folks have gotten older and passed on, most of the World War II generation is gone. They're all well into their 90s. I've seen a revival with younger people getting interested in Route 66. And so that's the big shift that I've seen. And I've seen a tremendous amount of interest from Europeans and Japanese from the Far East. There's interest in Route 66 around the world. And so it's continuing to grow. I don't see it waning at all.
No, I don't either. You know, one of the things I find really fascinating about Route 66 today, and it's always been the road of dreams, but now those dreams have taken on some different things. A few years ago, I met a fellow, he goes by the name of Tebow Barnes, a fascinating young man, probably his late 30s, during COVID. And he wanted to do Route 66. He was obsessed with Model A's and Model T Fords. He was out of work during COVID, so he threw his sleeping bag and some tools in a bone stock 29 Ford, set out from his home in New Hampshire, and drove to Chicago and did Route 66, and posted some great videos out there around Cool Springs and going up the mountains. And I have met people rollerblading Route 66, driving BMW iZettas along Route 66. And one of my favorites, Ned, I don't know if you've heard this, but there was a French mime. He contacted me a few years, 10 years ago now or so. They were going to do try to set a world's record, 6 foot stilts, and walk the entire length of Route 66. And I have a very dark sense of humor, folks, so I do apologize. I was really sorry to hear that he made it to Oklahoma before he had a heat stroke. And the first thing that came to my mind was, how does a French mime call for help in Oklahoma? But it's just my sense of humor. You're going to be out for the fun run, Ned?
Yep, I'll be out there for the weekend of the fun run. I think that's May 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah, the first weekend in May. You bet.
And I'll be out there if anybody wants to either get involved or communicate or discuss our next project that we're going to be doing at Cool Springs. I'm all ears, and I guess I can give you my email if you want. It's netters@icloud.com.
Okay.
It's netters@icloud.com.
Feel
free to talk to me.
I'll put that in the blog post. I know one fellow that's going to be so excited you're coming out, he'd love to talk to you, is Chris Tuttle with Arizona Podcast, a really great program. He's doing a video and audio podcast, a video for the YouTube channel, and he's doing a whole series on Route 66 businesses and personalities. And I mean this in a good way. You fit in as one of the personalities.
Great.
That's a polite way of saying characters. Well,
I remember my wife's uncle, we were in a minivan cruising out Route 66, and I hadn't started the project at Cool Springs, and they were describing what I was going to do, and I remember pulling up in the minivan, and I could hear the uncle in the background go, he wants to do what? You know, and they looked at the site there, and it just, you know, I don't know where the vision came from, but I'm glad I dove into it, because the relationships and the connections that I've made with people has really been quite a journey. And that includes my connection with you too, Jim. So I appreciate what you're doing as well. It's a fascinating journey.
It is. You know, it's a most amazing adventure I've ever had. The people, the friendships I've made, the people I met. You mentioned you don't know where the vision came from and what possessed you. My pa, when we first moved out there on Oatman Road, there was a few people out there that, shall we say, was colorful. And my dad referred to them as dry roasted nuts. They were somewhat colorful.
Oh, definitely.
Do you know much of the history about the King's Dairy across the road?
Not too much. I have some pictures of the pickup truck and one of the fellows that worked out there, because Nancy's uncle, Floyd Spidell, who owned Cool Springs, he had a chicken restaurant out there, and they used to get chickens from the dairy.
Ned, you know, I really have enjoyed this visit this morning, and Chris is with us this morning. As a matter of fact, from Arizona Podcast, he says he can't wait to talk to you and meet you. He says he was at Cool Springs just yesterday talking with Deb.
Great. Yeah, I still get excited talking about it with people. My interest hasn't waned at all, Jim. And that's one of the things I'm most grateful for, is I got involved with the project and it's still bearing fruit. And I still enjoy and get fired up from younger people and newer people that are interested in it. So it's been quite a pleasant journey.
Well, you know, one of these days, you're going to get kicked in the head by one of those mules. Next thing you know, you're going to be moving out there.
That's a good possibility.
It's really great to talk to you this morning, Ned. I look forward to seeing you out here. We've got a lot of new things coming up along in Kingman when we started the program today. I mentioned Tim and Lenore downtown. They are taking the whole block, basically, between 2nd and 3rd Street. And just a dramatic transformation, the old stone building there and the gas station on the corner. And a few days ago, you're going to like this one. I've got some pictures up. Scott Dutton, before he passed, he was buying up neon signs through the Route 66 Association of Kingman for restoration, create a neon sign corridor. And he found a sign from a closed Las Vegas wedding chapel. And he brought it down and had it restored and converted. So it says Kingman, the heart of historic Route 66. That's a pretty neat addition. David, thank you for joining us today. It's my pleasure. And it is a team effort, David. Thank you. Ned, any last parting thoughts here?
No, other than hope everyone has a great day and look forward to seeing everyone out there for the fun run. And I'll keep everyone posted. I'll keep you posted, Jim, on the renovation projects we have in progress.
Thank you, Ned, very much for taking time this morning.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My friends, we had a little bit of a problem with the connection there with Ned, but we managed to get it with the phone, and I'm glad everybody chimed in. The fun run, first weekend in May. Basically, it's a 160-mile block party. You will want to enjoy it. Starts basically Friday night in Seligman. The big kickoff is Saturday morning. And it really brings Route 66 to life. It blurs the line between past, present. It is anything with wheels. You'll find people driving Route 66 in a 1956 Greyhound Cena Cruiser bus, 1909 Cadillac, Gilligan's Route 66 tours. They usually include the fun run as part of their spring Route 66 tour. It's 800 plus vehicles. All the roadside attractions, Peach Springs, Grand Canyon, Caverns, Hackberry General Store, all come to life. And it's a real exciting weekend. They cruise from Seligman to Kingman on Saturday. Downtown Kingman they close the streets, huge block party. And then Sunday, they continue down to Golden Shores, up past Cool Springs and through Oatman and, well, the other side of the mountains. Now, before we get too carried away, and I want to get to your questions and answers, we want to give a shout out here. I'll post some more information, but there's a great Route 66 Centennial Planning Session coming up in Tucumcari. I believe that's the 29th of this month. But whether you're attending that event or just visiting Tucumcari or just traveling Route 66 and passing through, you owe it to yourself to spend the night at the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari. What an amazing job David Brenner has done on this place. This is an example of what can be accomplished with a little money, a little perseverance, and support from the Route 66 community and the community where you live. That was a condemned, closed-up building, and it is... Brady, I can provide more information about that meeting. I will have it up on the website, and I'll have it up on the James Hinckley page and see if I can get it up on the Jim Hinckley's America page. I've had problems with Instagram for over a year. My Jim Hinckley page was locked, and as a result, all of my linked pages I cannot access. Route 66 Centennial Initiative, James Jim Hinckley's America. Oddly enough, I cannot react. I can't post anything there except it was linked to Instagram. So I post things on my Instagram with my daily Decade with Jim series, and it shows up on the Jim Hinckley's America page. Otherwise, it's been locked and I've got no answers, so I've gone to James Hinckley if you're looking for me on Facebook. But Brady, I will get that up. I'll get you some more information on that as well. And then speaking of great motels, Cactus Inn Motel. Angela Moreland has done an incredible job with that 1950s property in the little town of McLean, Texas. Here's a little bit of fun trivia for you. McLean is not a ghost town, but it seems like it's on the fast track. People like Angela are doing something about that. But they had a brassiere factory in McLean, Texas. It's now the Barbed Wire Museum and the Texas Route 66 Museum. And McLean had the unofficial title of the Uplift Capital of Texas. Do with that as you please. And another great motel is the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. This is the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66, dating to the 1930s. And you owe it to yourself. Also, I mentioned Arizona Podcast. Don't accept a substitute. You can, when you pull them up, you'll see the Arizona flag and an Arizona license plate that says podcast. Check out their YouTube channel. They just did a great visit with the folks out of Desert Diamond Distillery here in Kingman. Really, and that's an overlooked little destination at the old Kingman Army Airfield, which is now the Kingman Airport and Industrial Park. You might want to take a look at that video and listen to their podcast. Arizona Podcast is first rate all the way across the board. Chris does a great job with that. The Cool Springs, Ned's got a lot of plans for Cool Springs, as you heard, and I hope he brings those to fruition. I have some fond memories of that. Let's see what else I have here on my notes. I think we got you pretty well caught up here. Do you have any questions? Anything I can answer for you? Hey, Michael, Kaylina, how are you doing today? These folks have a great shop up in Oatman, Pinnacles. It's another one you need to check out. You're going to like today's program, Michael, Kaylina. It's we talked to Ned, with the owner of Cool Springs. So this will be archived in just a little bit on Spotify, and we have an embedded player on the Jim Hinckley's America website if you want to share it with some others. Do we have any questions? You know, Nolan, I'm not sure. I'm glad you're asking a Brady about this. The Midpoint Cafe in Adrian, Texas, she closes for the winter, asking when she will open up. I'm not sure. And maybe Brady can answer that because he's in that neck of the woods. A lot of the businesses do close on in the winter because, well, for obvious reasons, things slow down a tad bit. But it's shaping up to be a pretty busy season. Ah, she's opening in March 1st. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much, Brady. Any other questions? Anything else I can answer for you before we button this up? As I mentioned, next week, February 18th, we're going to be talking with Professor Nick Gerlich. Quite a fascinating fellow, very passionate about Route 66. And he has a Signs from the Road project where he's traveling all over the United States and Canada, documenting historic signs and historic theaters, closed, open, and otherwise. That's going to be a great program. I look forward to talking to Nick, sharing his story. That will definitely be inspiring some road trips. February 25th, we're going to talk to Roy Peckrell, who has the Pink Elephant Antique Mall in the old school in Livingston. This is one of the strange, quirky attractions that you're going to, you got to see this thing to believe it. And he's got some exciting plans for the future. Don't miss that one. Then we're going to talk on March 3rd with Ron Romero of the Rock and Roll Museum in Joliet, Illinois. March 10th, we've got Scott Piotrowski with us of the California Route 66 Association, talking about updates, closures of Route 66 in the desert, if and when we can expect opening of the highway, and some of the great attractions that people miss in the Los Angeles area. Then on the 17th of March, we have the Texas Route 66 Visitor Center from Amarillo. And after that, the mural artist Ray Harvey on March 24th. If you would like to join us here, drop me a note. We'll get it set up for you. And we're always looking for, well, partners, people who need a promotional boost that want to help keep these programs going. So if you, your business or community needs a bit of a promotional boost, drop me a note. I'll bet you we can work something out. Anything else before we go, my friends? Hey, it's a heat wave. I just noticed the temperature popped up to 30 degrees this morning. Well, if we don't have any questions, I will bid you adios. And we'll wrap this up today with a little bit of music from my friends in Nashville, Joe and Woody and the gang, with the boys of the Road Crew, Road Crew 66. Take a listen if you need some tunes for your road trip. One of my favorites, Under the Neon. And a little bit of trivia from Joe and the boys of the Road Crew. Did you know that when we did the Route 66 International Festival in Kingman in 2014, they wrote a song called Kings of Kingman, and they gave it to the city. I don't know why that's not been used, but they it's a great Route 66 tune called The Kings of Kingman, and you can listen to that at the Road Crew 66 website or YouTube channel. Take a listen. My friends, until we meet again, I will bid you adios. And one more question I see popped up, the Beast. Well, you know, it's hard to admit that you need to do something different. So I am going to be, the panel truck is up for sale right now. And I've got a fellow from South Dakota that expressed interest. I haven't given up on the project of creating a Route 66 Centennial promotional vehicle, but for a variety of reasons, I'm going to have to take a different course here, and I'll keep you posted on that. I provide updates on our crowdfunding website on Patreon. My friends, it's always great. I'm glad everyone could join us this morning. I hope today's program provided a little inspiration for road trips and for stepping outside the box and doing a tad bit of thinking. My friends, until we meet again next week, adios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.